It's good to be here. I want to thank you all for welcoming us. We're from Colorado, Taryn and I, and we're just thankful to be here. When we first came here, I was telling everyone that it kind of felt like home, so it was just a blessing to be able to be with you. I wanted to just pray as we get started here this morning. Father, we just take this moment, Lord, thank you for how truly great you are, and Lord, we can sing that hymn throughout eternity. Father, we see a glimpse of your glory in this music. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for the ones whom you've gifted with this, Lord, and the willingness to share. And Father, that we can all take part in some way in the work that you're doing here today. And Lord, we thank you for the intersection of our lives, the way that, Lord, you come down and reach to individual souls out of billions of people. And Father, it's a joy to see that in others and to know, Lord, that you truly love us. So, Lord, we thank you for these things, and we just look to you this morning as we continue on. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to read a couple verses in Psalm 38. It's one of the most difficult things for me to do is share my testimony. It's a bit strange, so I apologize in advance for the subject material. Psalm 38, there is a couple of verses here. Kind of sum up point I came to in my life. So I don't know where to start. Let me read a few verses. Just ponder these with me if you would. Psalm 38, it says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure, for your arrows pierce me deeply, and your hand presses me down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I could go on, but that kind of sums up the point I came to in my life. There was a point in my adult life that I came there. I wondered, as I thought about that, with David's life, was that... Do you suppose he's speaking of his pre-conversion life, or is that his life at some point after he was converted? I mean, David at some point would have had to come to the Lord himself. His view of things is interesting as it's presented in the psalm. But I was watching the storm this week and thought of Job 37. I think it's Job 37. He talks about the flashings of light there in Job, and then he says something that is very much related, at least in my mind it is. Job 37, his lightning to the ends of the earth there in verse 3, after that lightning, a voice roars, he thunders with his majestic voice. The Lord speaks. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. And then it says later on, he gives a reason for that. In verse 13 of Job 37, he says, the Lord, he's speaking of the Lord, this is Elihu, speaking to Job, and he says, Lord, he causes it to come whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. So he gives kind of three options there. And it made me wonder, you know, how far does the Lord allow someone who's come to know him to wander? And that's kind of, that sums up my testimony, I guess, as a wandering believer. At least that's how I see it. I was up at about 2:30 in the morning on Monday night or Tuesday morning, whichever it was, and I was watching out the window, and I'm often up at that time. For whatever reason, I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, but I saw the storm. I guess I was looking south because we're up north in Portland, and I was looking south and just saw this lightning that I could never seen before. I mean, I've seen a lot of lightning. This was different. It was thick, brilliant, intense flashes of light. It was incredible. I had no idea that there was a tornado. I just knew it was a storm, and I was watching that and just thinking it was actually hurting my eyes to watch it. It was so bright. I've never seen lightning or anything like that in my life. But the Lord sends these things for a purpose. We don't know what it is. I wouldn't feign to understand why the lightning came, why the storm came here. I wouldn't try to draw conclusions from that. Job's friends tried to draw the conclusions, and they got into some trouble for doing that and for the things that were happening in Job's life. But I watched that, and I wondered about it, and I was thinking about testimonies, as if David asked me to share, and it's hard for me to do that because I kind of warned him mine is a bit strange. But I love to hear testimonies. I love to hear what it was in your life that brought you to the Lord, because it's a fascinating thing. And so I'll briefly try to explain what it was in my life. And the reason it's hard for me to share is because I there's a lot of shame in my life, and it's there's a lot of things that are shameful to me that I did and that I'm not proud of. And then it's also confusing, because I think to some people it's confusing. It's a bit of a doctrinal dilemma, the things that I did in my life, and I'll briefly explain why. I don't have a traditional testimony. I don't have a traditional testimony. Would be me to somebody who kind of grew up, didn't really know the Lord, and then they came to a point in their lives and they found the Lord, and then they went on after that. But mine isn't like that at all. There was a point in my life, I think I was 5 years old, when I came to know the Lord, and I made a very few memories prior to that time in my life. Came to know the Lord at five. My parents were first-generation Christians. I think most of you know what I mean by that, right? First-generation, meaning that my dad grew up in a home where his parents were not believers. My mom grew up in a cult, a religion. I won't tell you which one, but she was not a believer, and they both got saved and through the grace of God, and they taught me early on the truth about these things, and I didn't doubt it. So I have an entry from my, actually, I think I have it on my phone, and I wanted to read that. My mom, I wouldn't know the date, but my mom took she had a diary, and she kept, and she shared this with me one time, and she wrote this in her diary, and I'll just read it. It's real brief. This is October, and I would never know the date. I knew I was five, but I didn't know the date. October 11th, 1976. This is her words. A really encouraging note today. Mike said that he received the Lord this morning, completely his own initiative. He came into the bedroom where I was making the bed and asked what he could do to help me. He then said he felt a lot better. I asked if he had been feeling sick, and he answered no. I just asked the Lord into my heart, and I feel so much better. And I asked him why he did that, and he said, I was walking down the wrong road, but now my sins are forgiven, and I'm on the right road. I'm on God's side now. A few hours later, I asked him if he was still saved, and he replied, Mom, there's no way I could get unsaved. And then she writes, praise God. So October 11th, 1976, wouldn't have any idea what... when that happened, but she keeps records of these things. So I believe that the Lord saved me that day. I have reasons for that. But if you were to look at my life for the next 20 years, you'd be hard-pressed to say that that's a believer with the way I lived. And I don't know what brought me to that point at 5 years old. I don't really understand it. There was nothing going on. But I think it may have just been seeing the reality of the Lord in the lives of my parents. And it was had a huge impact on me and my siblings. I got off course and probably spent the next 20 years just kind of wandering. My teenage years, somebody called it the wilderness of vanity. I just wandered into a wilderness of vanity. I just started doing whatever I wanted and didn't really consider the reasons why I was doing it. I don't think it's possible for that. I could have understood what I was doing because the Word of God, and I wasn't reading the Word of God, but the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that's the only way we can really understand what our own motives are. My motives were a mystery to me, but I didn't question them. So I just went kind of into a default mode of going through life and trying to fulfill whatever desires I had, satisfying whatever inward desires I had. I think probably we can all relate to that because we all have that nature that wants certain things, and we all that desire, that nature wants to be fed. So I kind of starved the new life. I believe I had the new life in me, but I starved that and I fed the old life. And yet throughout this time, I never really doubted. I didn't doubt the truth of the gospel or God or anything else. I just simply set it aside. Don't really know why I did it, but I pursued the flesh. Some folks, and I, as I said, I was in a Christian, an assembly type of upbringing, like much like this. And some said to me at that time that I was a prodigal son, and that I needed to turn back, and others said that I wasn't saved at all. I didn't know if I was saved at that time. I really didn't. I had doubts, and I didn't give it enough thought to really come to a conclusion on it. And I don't really want to drag you through the gutters that I went through during that time. I could tell you stories of times when I should have died, many times, guns pointed at me, different things. But I'll just tell you briefly and give you an overview of I got into drugs and in my 20s and early 20s, and there came a point after this that I and a few friends had a quantity of some different kinds of drugs, and we were arrested, and I ended up in a jail cell. And it was as a 20-something-year-old, it was kind of a wake-up call for me. I just kept wandering farther and farther. You know, that's how you go, one step at a time. You take one step, you take another step, and pretty soon you're in a wilderness. I was sitting in a jail cell, and I had doubts. I didn't doubt God. I knew he was real. I didn't doubt the gospel, but I doubted myself. I didn't know. I didn't even know if I was saved at all. I spent my life, I think, living in what I call now the past tense of salvation. If somebody ever asked me if I was saved, I'd say, yes, I had an experience at 5, and I did. I had a real experience. When I asked the Lord into my heart at 5, I immediately felt different. And I remember telling my mom that. I remember going upstairs. My brother and I lived in the basement at that time, and I went upstairs, and I wanted to tell somebody what had happened. And I remember that experience with very little else from that time in my life. But I lived based on a past experience. So I was living in that, wasn't thinking about present tense deliverance from sin, which is what I really needed. I was living in some kind of an experience in the past. I was sitting in that jail cell thinking over my life, and I couldn't make sense of it. I couldn't make any sense of any of it. Eventually I was sentenced, and I was incarcerated for a time. And it was during this time that I knew I was going in, and I was going to stay in for a while. I really came to the end of myself. I was broken, and I didn't want to, I'll just put it this way, I didn't want to live. And I didn't want to live anymore. I wanted to get out. I saw the wreck that I had made of myself for the past 20 years. I knew that I'd had every opportunity. I'd been blessed, and many of you were not. I'd been blessed. My parents were not blessed with a Christian and a godly upbringing. But I was, and I'd taken that, and I'd squandered it. And it was that knowledge, really, almost more than anything, that made me, it really made me despair. And at that time, I was in a facility, and there was no privacy anymore, so I went and tried to find somewhere where I could be alone. And I found just a little spot in a bathroom in the facility that I was in, and I prayed, I guess, what's maybe the most profound prayer I've ever prayed at that, and it was two words, only two words I could say. It was just, Lord, help. And he helped me. I went from despair to peace in an instant. And you know, I just couldn't believe that he still wanted me after all that I'd done. I couldn't believe he would take me back. But he gave me peace, and I found peace for the first time as an adult in my life. I found a peace that I had not known, and it didn't depend on the circumstances. I didn't care where I was. I found peace, and I was thankful for that. And you know, I had the same sort of experience as I did as a five-year-old. I wanted to tell somebody. As soon as I found that peace, I wanted to tell somebody about it. If you look at, I just want to share one more passage. Jeremiah 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, it says, this is, to me at least, you're welcome to ponder this, but it expresses the heart of the Lord, and it says here, In Jeremiah 3, verse 1, they say if a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's, may he return to her again. Would not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says the Lord. And here's the Lord speaking to Israel. And then in verse 13, this whole entire passage, but verse 13, he says, only acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord. And you've scattered your charms to alien deities under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice. And that's exactly where I was at that point. And the Lord took me back. I'm still overwhelmed by it, and I apologize for my emotion. It's very hard to disassociate that time in my life with the emotion that I felt and the relief that I felt, that the Lord was still willing to take me back. And here he is saying to Israel, at a time when Israel had been unfaithful to him, that he just says, just return to me, just return to me. So here's my conclusion, and I'll let Dave take over here. But my conclusion is, so I did the Lord save me when I was five? And I believe that he did. I had some doubts throughout my life. But I'll tell you why I believe that. And I don't know how to put it, but maybe just ponder what you do if a child comes to you. If a child comes to you and just reaches out, 5-year-old child, any child, maybe your child, maybe some other child, but if they reach up and ask for help, what do you do? I mean, I think it's a delight for most of us to be able to help a child. But I think the Lord is faithful. And the Lord Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast them out. I think he received me on that basis. He didn't look at me and say, I know what you're going to do in 10 years and 15 years. I'm not going to receive you now. Maybe I'll receive you later. I think the Lord received that child at that time. And then I sadly wandered away. But I think it's very simple. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Very simple. I love the simplicity in Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. I love it. So what went wrong? I mean, I almost feel like I have to tell you this. At 5 years old, what happened? How did I get so far off course and wander into all the things I wandered into? And I think that I had a will. I didn't understand at five. I didn't have much doctrinal understanding. I knew that something had changed in me, though. But I still had this will, and I exercised that to follow what I wanted. And I didn't recognize, really, that where we are now is we're behind enemy lines in this world. We're behind enemy lines. And I made friends with the world. The friends I was with when we got arrested were not believers, nor did they. And of course, if you would have looked at me, you wouldn't believe that I was either. And I wouldn't blame you for not. I didn't recognize the fact that we're behind enemy lines. And if you're going to have friendships with people that are not saved, it needs to be in view of hopefully seeing them come to know the Lord. But that wasn't what I did. What I did was embrace the world in a way that brought me down. It says bad company corrupts good morals. That's actually 1 Corinthians 15, I believe, and it's really true. I've experienced it for myself. We don't, when you have intimate relationships with people that are not believers, we end up getting pulled down by them. So my friends and then fellowship. I began to abandon fellowship entirely, and during that process of my life, I still occasionally showed up at church, but I basically had abandoned fellowship entirely. So your friendships and your fellowship, at least to me, it's that simple, and that's how I got off course. I'm gonna end it there, and just I want to turn it over to David. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you.
Thank you for sharing.